Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
A new report out this morning finds that while the LGBTQ population in Massachusetts is growing, the community still faces many challenges. The report by the Boston Foundation and the Fenway Institute found LGBTQ individuals experience higher rates of depression, discrimination, and homelessness. To talk more about the findings, one of the report's authors, Sean Cahill of the Fenway Institute, which is a research institute for LGBT health, has come in this morning. Sean, good morning, and good to meet you.
Thank you, Bob.
So the report says Massachusetts has a large and growing LGBT population. Do we know, is it more people living in the state now identifying that way, or are LGBT people choosing to move here?
It's actually both. We know from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey that younger people are more likely to self-identify as LGBT. So overall, about 7% of the state population is LGBT. But among 18 to 24-year-olds, it's 16%. Then for people 65 and older, it's only 3%.
Among the young people self-identifying as LGBT, the 18 to 24-year-olds, is it that they're more comfortable coming out now?
I think so. I think it's that they're more comfortable coming out. I also think that a lot of older people, living life as an openly gay person was just not seen as an option, as a viable option, as much as it is for young people now.
Okay, let's talk about some of the problems, if we might. The report says gay youth are much more likely to experience homelessness than their heterosexual peers. For boys, it's almost 6 times as much, and for girls, it's almost 10 times as much. That's kind of stunning. Why is the number so high, do you think?
Yeah. Well, this is consistent with what we see at the national level, much higher representation of LGBT youth in the homeless youth population. I think some of it is related to family rejection. We also cite data from another study we did with LGBT youth of color in Boston that shows that many youth report a lack of maternal acceptance. They're either not out to their mothers or their mothers are not fully accepting or not at all accepting of them. And that can be a major factor in a young person running away from home at a young age and becoming homeless.
Is there enough being done to address homelessness in the population?
Well, there's a lot of good programs and services here in the greater Boston area. For example, Y2Y in Harvard Square is a great homeless shelter, and a lot of LGBT youth go there and get services. Unfortunately, the services are not available at the scale they need to be. So there's a greater need than there is, you know, services available. But the other key recommendation that we make in the report is that mainstream services have to be made affirming and culturally competent to serve LGBT people.
Another statistic that I found kind of startling in the report was that you found 65% of transgender people of all ages reported facing a form of discrimination in public places last year, meaning in restaurants or on transportation or elsewhere, which surprised me because it means that people feel comfortable belittling transgender people in public places.
Right.
Have things gotten better, though, since the state passed the public accommodations law in 2016 to curtail that very problem?
That's a great question. We're hoping to do some research this summer and fall to see if that's the case. But it really, in our view, underscores the need for the gender identity non-discrimination law, which we passed in 2016, that protects transgender people against discrimination in public accommodations. Unfortunately, the religious right has put that on the ballot. It's going to be on the ballot
in November.
The 2018 ballot. And we're very concerned about what it could mean from a public health perspective if transgender people are stripped of these non-discrimination protections.
LGBT people are more likely to experience depression than their non-LGBT peers, according to the report. Almost half have considered suicide. It's an alarming number. What do we do about it?
Right. Yeah, we see it across the age spectrum. And one of the data points that really jumped out at me is that our youth risk behavior survey tells us that lesbian, gay, bisexual youth are 5 times as likely to have attempted suicide as heterosexual youth, 25% versus 5%. I think it's just, you know, evidence that we need to do a better job. We have a lot of good programs and services in the Commonwealth. For example, we have almost 300 gay-straight alliances in high schools around the state. We have alliances for GLBT youth around the state. But we just need to do a better job. They're not really meeting the need that youth have. There's still a lot of stigma. There's still a lot of prejudice. There's not enough family acceptance. Among older people, there's a lot of social isolation. And so it's really important that we provide services and help people develop and strengthen their social support network.
The report by the Boston Foundation and the Fenway Institute is out this morning. Sean Cahill with the Fenway Institute, thanks a lot for coming in this morning and talking about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.